the history of the Irish in baseball is much richer than anyone realizes. From our discrimination of Lizzie Murphy to later domination from Mike King Kelly, a society star in the 1880s, to the memorable the managerial frame of Connie Mack, early Irish players and managers helped shape the game of baseball in every way. From the first curveball to the first players' union, Irishmen took America's national pastime and made it their own, turning it into the glorious game as we know it today, as more recent players have kept alive the Irish tradition of setting records. I want to talk a little bit about the first Irish stars. As you look at the picture up there, you see Andy Leonard is on the right side, the left side. Jim O'Rourke's on the right side, and Cal McVee is standing in the background. Andy Leonard was the first Irish-born major leaguer. He made his debut with the Washington, D.C. Olympics in 1871 and went on to play the infield and outfield for more than 500 games with the Olympics and Boston Red Stockings of the National Association, as well as the Boston Red Caps and the Cincinnati Reds of the National League, finishing with a lifetime batting average of .299. Perhaps the most influential of the Irish players in the National Association of Baseball Players was William Arthur Candy Cummings. He's credited with being the first pitcher to throw a curveball. Some other first Irish stars were Jim O'Rourke, known as the Orator, Fergie Malone, Mike McGarrity, John McMullen, Tim McNane. Dick McBride was a pitcher manager. Patrick Joseph Patsy Donovan, Tony Mullane, and Tommy McCarthy. Patrick Joseph Donovan and McCarthy, a team with Hugh Duffy to form the Heavenly Twins in the Boston Bean Eaters outfield of the 1890s. In addition to being a fine hitter with exceptional speed, McCarthy was a clever, daring, and intelligent player who originated many tricks, such as trapping fly balls to fool the opposition. A lifetime .294 hitter, he stole 109 bases in 1888 for the St. Louis Browns to capture the pennant. In 1872, O'Rourke was offered a lucrative contract to move from the Mansfield to the Protestant-owned Boston Red Stockings, but there was a catch. He would have to conceal the obviousness of his Irishness of his name by dropping the O and playing as Rourke. Emphatically declining the offer, Rourke said that $1 million would not tempt me. Charles Comiskey. Charles Comiskey, founder and sole owner of the Chicago White Sox, the American League, was the most respected and successful figure in baseball during the first three decades of the 20th century. He was a second generation of Irishman who made his name in baseball during the 1880s as a hard-charging, umpire-abusing first baseman and manager of the St. Louis Browns of the American Association. I want to talk a little bit about now some of the Irish first. James Francis Pud Galvin. On July 4th, 1876, pitching for a team out of St. Louis, pitched what is believed to be the first perfect game in baseball history against an on-road team from Philadelphia. Also in 1889, Galvin became the first major league player to be injected with a performance-enhancing substance called Brown Segur, an extract made of the brains and or sexual organs of various animals, an elixir that many doctors believe could prolong human life. Some other Irish firsts were Cal McVeigh, John Glenn, Tommy Bond, who won 40 games in a season with a winning percentage of .702 and a career record of .193/.115. Charles Kidd Nichols, who at the age of 32 was the youngest pitcher to win 300 games while compiling a lifetime mark of .361/.208. Art Devlin, George Hall, Michael Joseph Kelly, Dan Brothers, and Tim Keefe. Keefe won 19 games in a row for the New York Giants in 1888. Now, I want to make a few comments on the Irish Baseball League, the clubs, and the playing fields. The development of baseball in Ireland is almost completely dependent on sponsorship. On March 17, 1871, on St. Patrick's Day, representatives of 10 professional teams met to play in the first All-Pro League in America, the National Association of Baseball Players. Already in existence were several touring pro teams, some salaried, funded by commercial establishments, and a number of cooperative nines that shared gate receipts. An increasing popularity of the game was also demonstrated by scores of amateur leagues that organized competition among various trades, including a wholesale grocers league in Chicago, colleges, schools, towns, villages, and social clubs, with many of these paying ringers on a per-game basis. These diverse leagues and teams especially proliferated in urban areas such as Boston, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Providence, Harvard, New York, and Chicago, where there was a great concentration of the Irish population. The game basically began in Ireland the summer of 1995. Softball had been played in Ireland since the early 80s. The O'Malley Fields of Cornegan Park in Cleinigan, West Dublin, are the main home of Irish baseball. The fields are named after legendary L.A. Dodgers owner Peter O'Malley, who generously funded their construction in 1998. The majority of league games are held at the fields, along with Ireland national team games and practice sessions. O'Malley funding created actually two fields, an adult level field and a youth level field. The Black Sox at Shanigan Park, which is yet to be developed into a real baseball field. The Greystone Mariners home field was built in August 2007. Some of the teams participating at those venues were the Dublin Hurricanes at Corrigan Park, the Dublin Spartans at Corrigan Park, the Dublin Black Sox at Shanigan Park, the Indigos at Corrigan Park, the Greystone Mariners at Greystones, and the Bellstone North Stars at Belfast. At the adult level, if you wanted to play umpire coach in the Irish Adult League, there were some requirements. One was the league was entirely voluntary and amateur players were not paid. Another, the league catered to all levels of players. The league ran from April to September, and they currently had teams in Belfast, Greystone, Shanigan, and Dublin. And they said that you should live in or near those areas, of course, if you wanted to participate on the current team. Youth baseball was given a tremendous boost by the Philadelphia Green Sox when they traveled to Ireland in 1992. They played the Irish baseball all-star team in baseball games, and the first was in Galway and the second was in Dublin. They ran clinics for youth baseball program, which until their arrival was quite underdeveloped. They also delivered equipment to field 8 youth teams. The following summer of 1993, they raised money and sent 4 coaches to Ireland for the summer to work with the youth program. With their help, Ireland received a Little League Baseball charter. A more structured approach was adopted by the Irish Baseball and Softball Federation, known as the IBSF. The IBSF was founded in 1989, with the primary purpose of furthering the growth and development of baseball and softball at all ages and skill levels throughout Ireland. Is that better there or not? It's not working? Hang on. I wish I can talk louder, I guess.
There we go. Let's find a good place for you.
All right, okay. All right, is that all right? Okay. The IBSF was also responsible for the development of umpiring, which they called refereeing, for the sports, and ran clinics for fully qualified international umpires as well as novices. Baseball Ireland is a recognized national governing body of baseball in Ireland and is responsible for the development and promotion of baseball. Now, I want to make a few comments on awards and winners. The individual Irish League awards were given out annually that have an Irish flavor in an effort to pay homage to the great Irish players who played in the major leagues in years gone by. For example, instead of their traditional Cy Young Award being given to the league's top pitcher, recipients are presented with the Tommy Bond Best Pitcher Award. Also, the league MVP award is called the Andy Leonard MVP Award, named after Andy Leonard, who was a member of the 1869 world champion Cincinnati Red Stockings, baseball's first professional team. Can you hear me all right in the back there? We all right? You can't? All right. Okay. Let's see where I'm at. Okay. Again, I was talking about Andy Leonard. With the Boston Red Stocking championship team, it was quite a dynasty which he participated in. He was on 1872 to 1876 and again in 1878, which he competed in 6 world championships. Some other awards given were the Dirty Jack Doyle Silver Slugger Award and the Patsy Donovan Batting Champion Award. In addition, there were League Champion Awards and National Baseball Team Champion Awards. Youth baseball in Ireland experienced its first international competition in 1993. A selected team of 11 to 13-year-olds traveled to the United States and played against similarly aged groups from New Jersey. There are similar awards for youth baseball champions in Ireland. Now, I want to talk about now Major League Baseball players from Ireland, and there are quite a few, and I think this will surprise you because they're the highest group of representation in Ireland.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Is that better? Okay. Okay. Is that better? Sorry. Okay. 47 players were born in Ireland from 1873 to 1945. 40% of the players in the early years of baseball were Irish. 54 Irish Americans represent Baseball Hall of Fame's largest ethnic group, among which some of the prominent ones are Mickey Cochran. Let me get Mickey up here. There he is. Universally regarded as the best catcher of his era and had a lifetime batting average of .320, highest ever for a catcher. Harold Joseph Pye Treanor. He matched Cochran's lifetime batting average of .320 and played his entire 17-year career with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Besides his prowess at the plate, Treanor was acclaimed as being the greatest fielding third baseman of his time. Harry Helleman was one of the greatest hitters ever with a lifetime hitting average of .3416, which was surpassed by only 5 other Irish players. Lefty O'Doul at .349. Ed Delahanty at .345. Billy Hamilton at .344. And Dan Brothers at .3421. Helleman hit over .390 4 times with a high of .403 in 1923. George High Pockets Kelly. He led the National League with 23 home runs in 1923 and twice paced his peers in RBIs. Frankie Frisch was a fine switch hitter who compiled a run of 11 straight 300 seasons and set single season fielding records as a second baseman for chances and assists with the 1927 Cardinals. Bill Terry. He batted and climaxed his 14-year career with the New York Giants with a .401 average. He also had over 200 hits in 6 seasons, and the Giants, his .401 average was in 1930. Bill McKechnie was the first Major League manager to win World Series titles with 2 different teams in 1925 with the Pittsburgh Pirates and again in 1940 with the Cincinnati Reds. Eddie Collins. He played 25 seasons in the major leagues, a 20th century record for position players. For 10 seasons, he batted over .340, helping him earn membership in the exclusive 3,000 hit club. Roger Connor was a 19th century home run king. His 138 career home runs established a major league record until surpassed by Babe Ruth in 1921. Connor hit 10 or more home runs 7 times, a 19th century record. He was the first ball player to hit an over-the-wall home run at the Polo Grounds. Joe Cronin was the American League's all-star shortstop 7 times and hit .346 with 126 RBIs in 1930. He topped the 300 mark 8 times and also enjoyed 8 100 RBI seasons. Hugh Jennings started as a standout shortstop before making a successful transition to manager. He captained Baltimore to 4 straight appearances in 1894 to 1897 in the 19th century Temple Cup World Championship Series. Connie Mack made his mark as a manager with the most career wins, 3,776. The tall tactician managed the Philadelphia Athletics for 50 years until his retirement at age 88. He was best remembered as a dignified scorecard-waving leader in a business suit who won five World Series crowns and built two dynasties with four pennants in 5 years from 1910 to 1914 and three in a row from 1929 to 1931. And John McGraw, who managed the New York Giants 31 years, winning 10 pennants, finished second 11 times, and won three World Series. As a player, he was credited with helping to develop the hit and run, the Baltimore chop, the squeeze play, and other strategic moves. And Frank Silver Flint, in 1879 for the Chicago Cubs, filled in the last month for Cap Anson, and thus became the first Irish-American manager. Now, I want to talk about Lizzie Murphy and King Kelly. During the Roaring Twenties, as the Irish had more opportunities to improve both their social and economic standing, the percentage of Irish players in the major leagues declined. However, by decade's end, there were still more than 60 Irishmen in the major leagues. But first, a woman of Irish descent made the record books. On August 14, 1922, Lizzie Murphy played two innings at first base during an exhibition game between the Boston Red Sox and the American League All-Star team. Murphy was already an experienced semi-pro player, and although she never came to bat in this particular contest, she became the first woman to play in any capacity that featured Major League players. The occasion was a benefit for the family of Tommy McCarthy of Hall of Fame and Heavenly Twins fame status, who had died the week before. Unfortunately, several of her temporary teammates were not happy about sharing their sacred turf with a female. On a routine grounder to third, the throw to Murphy was deliberately sent high and wide in an attempt to embarrass her, but she made the catch and recovery in time for the out. In 1928, Lizzie Murphy played a complete game with the Cleveland Giants of the Negro League. For extra income and respect, Lizzie produced her own baseball card, which she is believed to be the only player to do so. Mike King Kelly. He was not only one of the premier players of his day, but also one of the most flamboyant. He often outwitted the opposition, usually by twisting the rules in some clever way. Perhaps the most charismatic player in the game during the 1880s, Kelly quickly became a fan favorite. His daring base running prompted fans to coin the battle cry, "Slide, Kelly, slide." In one instance, the score was tied in extra innings as darkness fell on a National League field. With two outs in the bottom of the 12th inning, the batter hit a line drive to right field. Kelly, the right fielder, raced over, jumped, and clasped both hands together, apparently making a remarkable catch. As Kelly ran off the field, the umpire called the game because of darkness. Later, a teammate asked Kelly how far the ball was hit. He says, "How the hell would I know? It was a mile over my head." A competitive sort, he would do most anything to win. He would keep an extra ball in his uniform shirt. Kelly was skilled at scoring from second base on a single, partly because he knew that the lone umpire could not tell if he touched third base or not. Many times he came within 20 feet of third base when he went to score at home. He smoked cigarettes on the bench, and when asked by a fan if he drank during games, Kelly cheerfully replied, "It depends on the length of the game." The catcher outfielder sparked the Chicago Nationals to five pennants. Manager Cap Anson credited Kelly with originating the hit-and-run play. After capturing the batting crown in 1886, the colorful Kelly was sold to the Boston Beaneaters for a then-record of $10,000, which is a lot of money in those days. In conclusion, it seems fitting that baseball has slowly but steadily taken root in Ireland, the ancestral home of many of the sport's early stars, among which are two diverse players, Lizzie Murphy and Mike King Kelly, who transform America's greatest pastime to their culture. Professional baseball took root in America in the early 1860s, during the same years that the sons of the first wave of Irish famine refugees began to reach adulthood, and the Irish quickly demonstrated a special affinity for baseball. Softball was first played in Ireland, mostly in the Dublin area. But in the early 1990s, a group of young Irishmen looking for a greater challenge decided to play baseball. They played the game on soccer and rugby fields, and by 1995, several adult-level baseball teams were formed. The Irish Baseball League is ever mindful of the debt that the sport owes to the long-ago Irish stars of American baseball. These men clearly illustrate the importance of the Irish to the national pastime, and though these sons of immigrants passed from the scene many decades ago, their exploits and achievements will be recalled and revered as long as the game is played. This work demonstrates the enormous contribution of the Irish to the American pastime and the ways in which the Irish immigrants and baseball came of age together, thus enriching the Irish culture. Thank you very much. Do we have time for questions? Okay. Yeah, I told you I'd be right. Okay, I guess open for questions. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. No questions? Okay, thank you.